Hello, everyone. This is Damir Barlas, editor of SearchSAP.com, welcoming you to our podcast with Ruby Jape. Ruby's going to talk to us about Enterprise SOA, which is SAP's technology for implementing SOA. Ruby is an SAP professional with more than 10 years of experience, during which he has architected and implemented CRM, ERP, and B2B portal solutions for Fortune 100 firms. Ruby is an information management manager with Deloitte and is also the author of SAP NetWeaver Portal Technology, The Complete Reference. So, without further ado, let's welcome Ruby and learn more about Enterprise SOA.
Hello, everyone. How is everyone doing? Okay, let me first start by thanking Damir for providing this wonderful opportunity to share with you all this exciting yet evolving field of Enterprise SOA. This presentation is aimed basically for those who are new to Enterprise SOA and is really geared towards generating a certain level of awareness in this area, and to get us excited about the potential things that we could all do as consultants in our day-to-day projects.
Excellent. Hi, Ruby. Thanks for joining us. So why don't we talk a little bit more about this excitement around SOA. Is this for real or is it hype? Maybe you can start by telling us what the drivers are behind SOA in general.
Yes. The most important driver for SOA is globalization. You know, what globalization has done is that it has opened up our business processes across company borders and countries. So companies are not just focusing on implementing enterprise-wide integration anymore, but are also focusing on creating global business networks. So in order to compete in this new era of globalization, companies must have very agile business processes that can be adapted quickly. No longer can we rely upon costly and longer ERP implementations. You know, SOA provides the promise of enabling faster business process change. By using BPM tools, we now have the ability to compose business processes quickly and then implement those processes using services that are technology independent. The same applies also to mergers and acquisitions. You know, mergers and acquisitions have created a need to view and manage processes that are end-to-end and span across multiple regions and subsidiaries. So SOA has also brought about a shift in focus from not just process efficiency, but also process differentiation. Typically, in an ERP implementation, the various functions modules like, you know, SD and MM were based upon industry's best practices. Once all companies have implemented these ERP solutions, the competitive edge was missing because they all have implemented the solutions, therefore reaping the same benefits. So now companies have to find other ways to differentiate their processes from their competitors. This process differentiation can now be achieved relatively quickly by service enabling your strategic processes. This process differentiation was increasingly difficult using traditional ERP systems because of their closed nature of the solutions and as well as the tighter integration among the modules. So with the arrival of SOA, the focus is more on business processes rather than on the ERP applications themselves. This is good because now instead of focusing on how to adapt the business process to the underlying ERP application, we now can focus on how to tailor the application to the business process as closely as we can. Because of this business flexibility that SOA enables, we can now focus more on strategic initiatives rather than just on cost containment. This, in fact, has the potential to change the face of IT because now IT is not just viewed as a cost center anymore, but rather it is viewed as a strategic weapon. Again, by using services, we can enable not just code reusability, but enable process reusability and thus lower the developmental costs in the long term by leveraging our existing investments. And finally, because of the plug-and-play methodology that SOA enables, it is now much easier to integrate the best-of-breed solutions with the ERP systems. So let's recap. The business drivers are globalization, of course, and then mergers and acquisitions that demand the ability to change your business processes quickly and focus on process differentiation rather than just process efficiency. Process reusability, and also the ability to integrate with the best-of-breed solutions.
That's a great summary. Let's talk a little bit more about SOA, though, especially with reference to how it enables the business agility and the flexibility that you just mentioned.
Sure. Like I mentioned before, the focus has all along has been on capturing a company's day-to-day business process, you know, such as selling its products in the form of a transaction in a software application, like, say, ERP or CRM. The data that is generated out of, you know, completing a transaction is then used to update other related modules such as finance and materials management, and so on. Thus, the focus has been more on capturing all the data that is possible to update other modules and then store that data in the system's database for future reporting purposes. You know, this helps an organization in terms of process efficiency because, after all the manual processes were now automated and potential mistakes during data entry are now eliminated. However, this focus on process efficiency led to development of applications that were more and more closed-ended and tightly integrated within the functional modules, such as MM and PP and so on. These processes, of course, were the industry's best practices. While this was helpful to the companies in the beginning, this became actually a disadvantage in the long run once all the companies have implemented ERP solutions because the competitive edge was missing because the element of process differentiation is no longer there. So now, instead of focusing on best practices, the companies now looked for ways to differentiate themselves from their competitors. And they needed to do this in a very short span of time. However, the ERP applications, you know, because of their closeness, their tight integration, and long implementation times, it became increasingly difficult to achieve this level of flexibility and agility that was required because in the light of increased pace due to globalization and acquisitions. This is where SOA comes to the rescue because now we can create another layer on top of the ERP applications that is more loosely coupled and also integratable, relatively easier with other applications due to their neutral technology. This top layer is based on web services and is based on industry standards such as RosettaNet, BPL, UCCNet, and so on. In short, this new breed of applications consisted of service providers, service consumers, and service directory kind of functionality such as UDDI for publishing and searching services. The ability to now expose an application's functionality in the form of services has enabled a kind of a plug-and-play feature, providing the sort of flexibility that companies were looking for to develop their processes and then make them available as services for the other businesses to consume. So these services can also, in fact, be combined with other services to create more complex scenarios or processes using BPM technologies, again, with the least amount of coding. Thus, the loosely coupled nature of the services, the less amount of coding that is required now, and the BPM tools that are available have actually helped us to quickly compose these existing services to create more complex processes which are tailored to the exact needs of a business. You know, all these have provided the companies with the ability to achieve the process differentiation and the consequent competitive edge along with the flexibility and agility that is actually needed today to not only to survive, but also to thrive in today's marketplace.
Mm-hmm. So what's the difference between the traditional SOA that you just mentioned versus SAP's version of SOA?
That's a good question. You know, the main difference between traditional SOA and SAP-based SOA is in the actual governance model and the business semantics that SAP-based SOA provides. You know, by the way, SAP's version of SOA is known as Enterprise SOA. So from now on, I'll actually refer to that as Enterprise SOA. Enterprise SOA is actually really built upon the concepts and standards surrounding traditional SOA. So however, Enterprise SOA helps, you know, bring a kind of orderliness and a business context to the traditional SOA domain. Let's see what this actually means. As you can see, traditional SOA, you know, is based upon custom-built web services that are used to service-enable a given business process. The problem with traditional SOA is actually that there are no tools, mechanisms, and procedures available that govern how these web services are built. As a result, it is often the case that these web services are not visible to the other consumer population, thus resulting in poor reusability of these services. So even though there are web services available in the organization, because they haven't followed certain life cycle management principles, they remain underutilized. On the other hand, Enterprise SOA aims at bringing orderliness by providing pre-built enterprise services that you can actually choose from a central repository known as ESR, or Enterprise Services Repository, which you can actually go to the ES workplace in FTN and access it. These enterprise services are based upon a harmonized enterprise model built around well-defined business objects and processes and global data types that are universal and also based upon industry standards. Again, because SAP has put in a lot of effort in standardizing and harmonizing these services across their entire suite of business applications such as ECC, CRM, SCM, and so on, we can see that there's tremendous reusability not only across the processes but also across global data types and business objects in the system. We also have enterprise service bundles available in Enterprise Services Wiki on the SDN that provides typical use cases. Mm-hmm. Again, enterprise service bundles are delivered by SAP using enhancement packages and are quite similar to the concept of business packages. If you're familiar with SAP portal, you will know it contains certain business scenarios and therefore provides the jumpstart you need for your SOA implementation. It actually contains enterprise services for scenarios such as service procurement or credit management and so on.
Mm-hmm. Can you explain more about how SAP achieves flexibility and agility using the enterprise SOA framework?
Yes. Let us see how SAP achieves that flexibility and agility for developing SOA-based applications. I would say that the flexibility to develop applications quickly is achieved by the different layers in the eSOA architecture and also the loosely coupled nature of these layers. These layers are the backend layer, the enterprise services layer, the UI layer, and finally the process layer. And in fact, all these layers are embodied in the Visual Composite application framework. First of all, the enterprise services can be designed and modeled in the ESR, which I told you is the Enterprise Services Repository. You can model them in a harmonized manner with the data types having a consistent semantic meaning when used across multiple services. These enterprise services are all loosely coupled and can be implemented in any backend system. Thus, this layer is all about reusability. Then we register those services in the enterprise registry so that then other companies as well as your own internal departments can come and consume these services based on their own business process requirements. Then these services can be used by RIA applications. RIA, by the way, stands for Rich Internet Applications, such as Visual Composite Application Framework, Adobe Framework, and so on, to achieve the high usability needs, workflow processing capability, as well as collaboration, and so on. Lastly, a model-driven approach is made possible at the highest layer, which is the process layer, using business process management tools. The technology that lies in the process layer are like things like guided procedures, and also SAP has come up with a new tool called Galaxy that is now included as part of the SAP's latest version of NWDS. Thus, you know, each layer that I have just mentioned is independent of each other, and as we can see, we are able to achieve loose coupled architecture, and we can now therefore implement business process logic outside the backend system, providing the kind of flexibility and openness that is now required. Thus, the ability to integrate with multiple backend systems, the reusability factor of the ESR, the collaborative nature of the user-centric layer, and the adaptability of the process layer, they are all SAP's way of providing the flexibility and agility required for the next breed of SOA applications. In fact, I recommend the readers to take a quick look at the composite application framework that will help them understand how the different layers and the associated technologies such as Visual Composer and Guided Procedures, WebDynPro, they all work together to enable the development of the latest breed of SOA applications.
Mm-hmm. Can you touch upon some of the building blocks of enterprise SOA? For example, SOA middleware, the enterprise service bus, SOA governance, and so on.
Sure. You know, the eSOA architecture can be classified into two main categories, namely the composition environment and the process integration environment. In a pure point-to-point scenario, you would use just a CE or composition environment. But if you need routing and other interface mapping, you would like to use a PI or process integration environment. Let's say first we have the composition layer, which is composed of the process management layer, the UI composition layer, the service composition layer, and the information layer. You know, the process management layer is the highest layer, which is used to design and configure as well as execute and monitor business processes. Then the next layer is the UI composition layer, which is used to compose user interface layers to develop different UI patterns using WebTin Pro and Visual Composer, for example, to build code as well as to compose UI and to adapt UI logic and user interaction aspects as well. The next layer is the composition layer is the service composition layer, which is used to compose services, wherein you have this composition application framework coming in that helps you to do this. And then the fourth layer in the composition layer is the information layer, which is used to integrate your structured and unstructured information, and enterprise portal is a big tool in this. Then SOA middleware for interoperability layer is actually the layer between consumption and provisioning. It consists of three main components: service bus, SOA governance, and SOA management. And this whole SOA middleware functionality is provided, in fact, by SAP's PI environment. Service bus is actually for scalable messaging and messaging routing, event processing, and so on. The next component under the SOA middleware, which is the SOA design governance, is for ensuring that the standards are followed when you design service metadata or designing services as well as configuring the services. The third component, which is the SOA management, is for managing the deployment and operation of applications. It obviously includes aspects such as security and management, monitoring, and so on, which are required for the actual application to run function properly. Then the SOA provisioning layer is the layer that is required for enabling your services, and this is again provided by the actual SAP NW PI functionality. And the SAP NWCE is actually the composition environment that provides the ability for you to consume your services, develop the services, as well as to compose them if you want. So to implement a SOA scenario, you can either use both CE or PI or just one of these things. Of course, like I mentioned before, in a pure point-to-point scenario, you would just use a composition environment. But if you need routing and interface mappings, you would, of course, use PI. Hmm. Again, please note this is an important thing. You can actually pick and choose various blocks that I just mentioned before and thus have an incremental approach in setting up this SOA-based architecture.
Mm-hmm. Now that we've seen the various architectural building blocks, can you explain what the life cycle of a typical SOA application would be?
You can actually see that the components in the service provisioning layer and the components in the service consumption layer are involved in the overall SOA application lifecycle. So let's see how. To begin with, you know, you define and model your enterprise services using the ESR, which is really the SAP's PI component. Once we have modeled the service and the corresponding business objects and the service interface and the related operations for that service, then the next step is to generate the proxy in the backend system. And the third step is to actually implement the functionality of that service in the backend system as well. Please note this, again, the backend system could be either SAP or non-SAP too. Then the fourth step is we publish that service. Then the fourth step is we publish that service in the service registry, which is really a collection of the endpoints of various services that then other consumer applications can make use of in their own implementations. And, of course, once the service has been published in the service registry, We then use the composition environment to actually search for that enterprise service and then compose it using the various building blocks we discussed previously, using tools such as NWDS, Visual Composer, Guided Procedures, Service Composition, and so on. The SAP's cross-application framework is another framework that provides the ability to develop SOA applications, and once these applications are created, we can then deploy them and configure them for productive use.
Mm-hmm. Can you give us examples of companies that have actually implemented SOA?
Well, there are lots of companies actually doing SOA today. One example that comes to my mind is Valero Energy, which is North America's largest refiner with around $90 billion revenue last year. You know, they estimated, in fact, that it cost them close to $50,000 to $100,000 per year per interface just to maintain it. Considering that they had multiple systems and multiple interfaces, of course, reusability of these interfaces became quite an important factor. Since 2004, they have developed 90 services and 40 composite applications using SAP NetWeaver Application Server. And the amazing thing is they actually attaining around 50% reusability. They are now aiming to attain 70 to 80% reusability. These services are used by almost like 5,000 customers and 22,000 employees. And in fact, their motto has been, do the work once and do it right the first time.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. So with these new developments in SOA technology, has that resulted in new developments in the skill sets required for implementing SOA?
You bet it has. As you may have noticed by now, the focus has now shifted away from applications to business process itself, and the trend is to move away from intense coding to GUI-based composition tools such as Visual Composer, Guided Procedures, WebDinPro, and so on. The idea is to enable the users who are actually close to the process itself, such as, for example, business analysts and power users from the business, to be able to do some of the business process composition techniques that I just mentioned before using all these BPM tools. Thus, we have three major roles in the SOA domain, namely the business process architect, the solution architect, and the enterprise services developer. You know, the business process expert models and orchestrates the business processes and composes user interfaces using his expert-level knowledge of the business process. The tools they will be using are some of the composition tools such as Visual Composer, Guided Procedures, and BPM tools such as Aries, Galaxy, and so on. For the UI composition, there are a number of standard tools available in the market such as, for example, Silverflight, Google Widget Toolkit, Adobe Flex, Ajax, Dreamweaver, Google Page Creator, Wufoo, and so on. Then the second role, the solution architect, is the one who actually takes over the business requirements developed by the business process architect. He evaluates them and designs them and deploys them in the enterprise server model by designing the process model as well as identifying and designing the required enterprise services within the process model. And then going further into the details such as the underlying business objects, their service interfaces, as well as the operations such as, for example, create or delete or change and so on using the enterprise service repository. Finally, the enterprise services developer is the third role that actually would be responsible for creating and implementing those enterprise services that have been defined by the enterprise architect using, of course, technologies such as ABAP and Java in the backend systems, irrespective of whether it is SAP or non-SAP. So in short, we now have three new roles, the business process expert, the solution architect or the enterprise architect, and then the enterprise services developer. Usually today's business analysts, business power users, and to some extent, functional configurators can be great candidates for the business process expert role, and also the techno-functional experts could assume the role of a solution architect, and the Java developers and the ABAP developers could also assume the role of a SOA developer or an enterprise services developer. Again, please note, this is just it's a constantly evolving area, and these roles are just some guidelines, and there is no hard and fast rule. Again, this is a constantly evolving area. These roles are just some guidelines, and there is no hard and fast rule. For example, depending upon the project, one or more of these roles could be assumed by a single person.
Interesting. I mean, as we approach the close of this podcast, are there any useful tips that you might want to leave our audience with for those people who want to implement SOA?
Well, that's a great question. Sure, why not? You know, for those companies, those are unsure of whether to get involved in SOA, my sincere suggestion is not to wait. You know, it is important to, after all, to get a taste of SOA by involving in SOA for smaller but more strategic projects. You know, SOA cannot, and in fact should not, be implemented in a big bang way, but I would say that there is a lot to be gained by starting in a small way, because that will help the organizations to get the experience that they need, and also to help establish some of the SOA governance requirements that we highlighted in this discussion. Also, one of the things Gartner has researched is that one of the major hurdles in implementing any SOA implementation has been this lack of governance and implementing, designing the SOA artifacts. The next point is that the SAP NetWeaver technology is mature enough to allow an actual SOA implementation. So try to get access to the various resources in the SDN marketplace. You know, for example, the SOA Wikis that provides useful information on enterprise service bundles and the enhancement packages, the ES Workplace, and the ES Registry. You can also obtain a free user from the SAP Service Marketplace and use that user to test run some of these enterprise services that have been implemented in SAP's own systems. I think that's a very good functionality to exploit. Companies that are interested in eServer should also explore investing in SAP Discovery Server that comes with some pre-built server scenarios, and thus helps provide the much-needed jumpstart for organizations to customize their own the scenarios to their own environments. It can also help SOA developers to get their hands-on exposure to the various technologies such as the composition environment, the visual composer, and so on that we have been discussing all along. You can also download the visual composition environment and start trying out some of the tutorials and demos to gain practical experience yourself. And finally, also try to visit the BPX section on SDN to understand SOA also from a business process standpoint.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much, Ravi, for those tips.